Hello everyone, my name is Tyler Donahue and I am super excited to start talking to you about simplified provisioning and getting your devices set up in school. We're going to cover a couple things today. These are the sort of session goals for you to take away. First, shared PC mode is a new feature in Windows Anniversary Update. Secondly, set up school PCs is a new app which you can use to provision devices. Third, the new EDU wizard in the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. And fourth, take a test. Agenda for today is I'm going to talk quickly about some trends, and then I'm going to do a deep dive into shared PCs. I'll then talk about setup school PCs and how to provision with that app, and then I'll give you a demo of both of those things. Mark, my co-host, is going to come up and talk about the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. Also take a test. He'll demo both of those things for you, and then we'll do a recap. So let's get started. I'm going to talk about some trends quickly, and while the education space is so broad, there's a couple key factors that we took into account when designing the features that I'm going to talk to you about. First, students, teachers, and classrooms are all cross-platform. In fact, over 90% of teachers say that they use websites and other internet content to share as classroom materials or homework or things like that. So classrooms are definitely cloud and web first. Low-cost devices are critically important to you because they allow you to maximize your budget. However, when you have more PCs to manage and the same amount of people to do it, it's more work. You definitely have more devices than you had 5 years ago or even a year ago, and it's likely that trend is going to continue, right? And lastly, if you haven't already started integrating standardized testing with devices and technology, it's on your roadmap. Shared PCs. So shared PCs are critically important to talk about. And the reason is because while one-to-one deployments are increasing, they're increasing slowly. And our research shows that really over 90% of classrooms have some sort of shared device, whether that's a laptop that the student pulls out from the cart, a desktop in the back of the room, things like that. So it's really important that Windows works great as a shared PC in a shared environment, because that's how PCs are being used today in schools. These are some statements about a shared PC, but more importantly, these statements are what make a shared PC great. It also so happens that these statements are the goals that we had when we designed and implemented shared PC mode. Shared PC mode is a new feature in the Windows Anniversary Update, and it really optimizes to solve problems associated with these statements. I'm going to give you a couple highlights about shared PC mode right now, and then I'll also demo it later. The first, account management. So you told us that managing a Windows device where many students use it over the course of a day or a week or a class or a month or a year is very hard, mostly due to the fact that students use the devices a couple times, but many students use the devices a couple times, which leads to account buildup over time and low disk space. I've heard reports and we have research that show people use custom scripts to go clean these up, and I, in fact, even got an email from our education research team who's doing a field study in Michigan that said when the disk gets too full with accounts, they just reimage the device, and that's how they solve it. Now, with shared PC mode, instead, Windows will just do it for you. And it works very simple. When the disk space gets low, accounts are deleted. This eliminates the buildup problem, but more importantly, it makes sure that the PC is always ready to go for the next student who sits down at it. Next, sign-in. So you told us that it takes too long to sign into a Windows device. This delays when class is started, and it's a source of endless frustration for teachers and students. We have spent a lot of time optimizing sign-in times when you're in shared PC mode. And when I say sign-in here, I'm talking about the first time a student sits down at the device, and so a new account is created because it's the first time they used it. If they've already used that device and they have an account that's cached, usually you get about typically under 10 seconds across all hardware tiers. For new sign-in though, if you were to go spend $200 on a device that you could order from Amazon today, you'd probably get something like a dual-core Celeron with an eMMC drive. If you sign in with an Azure Active Directory account, you're looking at typically under 30 seconds for that first sign-in experience. Performance is a pay-for-play thing, right? So if you spend a little bit more money and you get a quad-core or a slightly faster hard drive, you'll typically sign in under 20 seconds. And if you have a high-performance PC, you're looking at typically 10 seconds for new account creation sign-in. So we've made a lot of improvements here, and we're continued to committed to continually improving sign-in times. Next up, you told us that while it's extremely useful for students to have identities and to sign into a domain choice device, that's not always the case. Sometimes it's easier to not have students have accounts or passwords. And this is most common with younger students who maybe can't remember their password, or it's just not appropriate for kindergartners to have a full-fledged user account. Additionally, this helps in scenarios like library PCs, or even for older students who've just forgot their password. In that case, there's a whole process for the password to be reset, and it takes multiple minutes before class can start. So shared PC mode also offers a new feature called Start Without an Account. Now that does exactly what it says. You can sit down at a device and you can use Windows without having an account, either locally, in your cloud, or a password. And this is the important note about this feature. It's not like the old guest mode that you're familiar with from like Windows XP. This feature creates a brand new account on the device every time it's used. And once that student signs out of the device, that account is no longer accessible, and it's queued for deletion by the account manager. So this is a useful utility if you need it in your scenarios. It's right there on the sign-in screen if you enable it, so it's easy to get to when students need it. You also told us that students tend to just shut the laptop lid, which means that over the course of a class or a day or a week, you have many accounts that are signed in at the same time. That leads to performance degradation, especially on low-end devices. Well, in shared PC mode, only one user can be signed in at a time, and we've added this sign-out button when the PC is in a lock state, so the next student can always kick off the previous student. You also told us that data loss is a headache, not to mention a super common and serious problem. So in shared PC mode, students can't save to the local drive. With the exception of the downloads folder, which is enabled mostly so you can get content from web browsers, they can't save to the local drive. Instead, use a cloud, use a USB drive, and many of you use mapped network drives. Those work great too. So students have lots of opportunities to save anywhere except the device they're using, right? Because local storage simply doesn't make sense on a shared PC. You save a file on PC 1 today, and on PC 2 tomorrow, you can't get that file. So we've mitigated this problem by simply eliminating saving to local storage. Lastly, you told us that these devices can't be compromised, or they shouldn't be able to be messed up by a student for the whole year. So, of course, you're already running students as non-admin users, which protects Windows by the decades of hardening between an admin and non-admin account. But shared PC mode also sets an additional over like 50 policies, and we have them all documented so you can see what it's doing. But this helps guarantee reliability and performance over time on the device. So those are the highlights of shared PC mode, and I'll talk a little bit more when I demo in a bit. But now I'm going to transition to set up school PCs and what that is. But first, we'll talk about some trends. So imaging is the traditional and predominant way that you manage Windows devices probably right now. Images are super convenient. You can add apps, you can add customizations, you can add policies, and you can push them out either manually or via the network, right? But there's a couple problems with imaging. One problem is you probably have more than one device type that are used in your school, right? So what this means usually is you have to build different images for each device due to the drivers being different. Also, reimaging is pretty standard behavior. You probably do each device maybe once a year, and then you do some population of your devices once, some percentage of the population every week, right? Because due to breakage, due to performance problems, due to the disk full, and all of those things. So set up school PCs is a way to provision devices without imaging them first. Remember, more PCs and less IT? Well, set up school PCs can help share the load across a wider net of people to help provision devices, and it's targeted at the light IT or the tech-savvy teacher role. The primary goal of set up school PCs is to automatically make the PC great for the classroom. So once the setup is complete, you can hand it to a student. Now, this happens in two ways. First, set up school PCs sets shared PC mode on the device. And we talked about shared PC mode and all the benefits that has to offer. Secondly, on top of shared PC mode, it also sets additional policies and installs apps and configurations to make the device super productive and useful to students. I'll show a little bit more of that in the demo, but one example real quick is a custom start layout with apps that students can be productive on right away. I talked about how shared PC mode doesn't allow students to save to the local drive. Well, set up school PCs complements that by installing the OneDrive app from the store. OneDrive app from the store is much more appropriate for a shared device because it downloads files on demand. It doesn't sync your entire file library on every new device that you would sign into. So students can download content on demand, saving you a bunch of network saturation, and they can easily save it back to the cloud through the OneDrive app because it's integrated into the save picker in File Explorer. Another key goal of set up school PCs is to make sure that these devices, when they're set up, they don't interrupt class time. And we've done three distinct actions to help enable this goal. The first is we disable Hibernate and turn on Sleep so the devices sleep at night instead of shutting down completely or hibernating. Secondly, we've enabled wake alarms across a wide range of hardware so that there is a much greater chance that the devices wake up reliably at night. And you're familiar with probably Windows updates that run at night or maintenance hours, but another key thing that runs at night when the device wakes up to do maintenance stuff is that account management cleanup. So that'll happen overnight and clean out all the accounts, giving you more disk space and making the PC ready when the student turns it on in the morning. And lastly, active hours, which is a new feature that was delivered by the Windows Update team, is set during classroom time so that the PC doesn't update or reboot during class. So that's set up school PCs, and it's demo time now. I'm gonna walk you through a couple different things. Let me switch over to my demo machine. Okay, so the first thing, what I'm gonna demo is I'm gonna demo basically the entire flow from getting the app from the store, using the app, provisioning a USB drive, sticking the USB drive into a student device, provisioning that device, and then what happens after you've provisioned it. So let's start with going to the store. Set up school PCs is a Windows Store app, and it's free, obviously, and you can just download it. So here it is in the store. I already have it installed, of course. I'm gonna go ahead and launch it. So the key part of set up school PCs is that you end up with a magic USB drive. And this magic USB drive, you can go from device to device to provision more devices. Setup school PCs is meant to be run on the teacher's laptop or what the IT is doing, and then it prepares the USB drive. You don't run this app on the student PC. And there's three steps. First, you provision the USB drive. Then you go unbox your PCs that you want to set up. And finally, you insert the USB drive, and that's literally it. You'll see as I do through the demo. So let's go ahead and get started. Allow guests to sign in to school PCs. So this is basically the start without an account feature. You can enable it or not. I'm gonna pick yes, which will allow anyone to walk up to one of these devices and just use it. Next, I need to configure a Wi-Fi profile. So this Wi-Fi profile will be saved, transferred to the USB drive, and then provisioned on the student PCs. So this enables the student PCs to have Wi-Fi connectivity to your school, right? And keep connected and up to date. I think the password is this. Okay, so after you've saved the Wi-Fi profile, that's sort of basically it for this app. The only next step is to insert your USB drive. And now this USB drive pops up. And now you're saving basically the provisioning package that contains all of the information about setup school PCs and shared PC mode onto this USB drive. Next step is to unbox all of your PCs, line them up, turn them on, leave them on the first screen. I'll get there in just a second, but I want to show you the next step first. And the next step is to remove the USB drive and then use it on every student PC. And we'll get there in a second. If you're curious about what actually is on this USB drive, I will show it to you. Oops, I need to plug it back in. Ignore all this other stuff, but there's basically two files that are created. One is a provisioning package, and Mark is going to go talk in depth about provisioning packages, and one is some other assets. But that's basically it. Set up school PCs, copy these files to your USB drive, and these files will be used by the target PCs. All right, so I'm going to switch to a video to show the provisioning process. And there's no sort of smoke and mirrors. I just didn't really trust the network infrastructure here to do the whole provisioning and domain join process. So I have a video. I'll walk you through it. You can replicate it, of course, with devices or VMs of your own. And then I'll switch after it's done set up to a VM and walk you through what happens after it's set up. OK, great. So let me maximize this. So what's happened here is I have unboxed my new PC, I have turned it on, and I have left it on the first screen. Now I have this USB key that I got from Setup School PCs. I'm going to insert it. When I insert it, I'm going to get a dialog that comes up and prompts me to set up the device. I click Setup, and then click some more to confirm the drive and the package. And what's going on here is all of the settings from Shared PC Mode and Setup School PCs, including like the network profile, are being provisioned on this device. Once that happens, the device is fully provisioned, and I just need to finish the rest of Windows setup. It's going to take a second here, and then you'll see the usual Windows setup screens. Note, of course, that I don't need to join a network because the network profile was saved in Setup School PCs and provisioned on this device. What I do need to do, though, is I do need to domain join it. I'm going to pick Azure Active Directory here to domain join it. I'm going to use a credential that has the rights and permissions to domain join devices. The important concept here is that once I've entered this credential and clicked sign in, I'm actually done provisioning this device. All of the stuff that happens next is automatic, and it's in the usual Windows setup, domain join, and setup flow. But I can actually walk away, unplug the USB drive, and go to the next PC, repeat the process, and keep going to the next PC for my entire cart. Now, this usually takes a couple minutes just to finish setup. I've sped it up here in the video so that we can not wait 3 minutes. But what you'll see is that it ends up in this shared PC mode. Now, the account that's signed in is that IT admin account, which has the rights to domain join the PC. That's not ideal, so I just sign out or close the lid on the laptop. And once that happens, the PC is set up, it's provisioned, it's domain joined. I can stick it directly in the cart, I can give it to a student, it's ready to go. So I'm going to switch over to the VM, which is basically the next state of this device. So this is a device that has been set up school PCs and is in shared PC mode right now. Set up school PCs did a couple things, like it set a custom background on the sign-in screen. You'll also notice that I can't reboot from here, so you need to be a signed-in user to actually turn off the device. And here's that start without an account button, which if I click it, I'll get a fresh new account. And when I sign out from that fresh new account, it's no longer accessible and queued for a deletion. I'm going to sign in with a student account that has previously used this device. And so actually there's not too much demo here. This is just standard Windows, but I will go through a couple highlights. First, we've cleaned up the app list compared to what you'd see in a regular consumer version of Windows, just because most of that content is not really appropriate for the classroom. Secondly, we've set a custom start layout here and a custom taskbar layout. Of course, you're encouraged to override this via policy and set what you like. We set some defaults here, but the student can still personalize. We only lock that one group. So I can, as a student, customize my start menu as I like. And what's critical to sort of note here is that since I've used an Azure Active Directory account, everything is ready to go. Single sign-on to all of these apps, I get to my stuff immediately without having to authenticate again because I've used that Azure Active Directory account. We'll see if the network cooperates here. Maybe not. Anyway, let's try OneNote. But all this app content and data, it's synced. So any it doesn't matter which laptop I pull out of the shared cart, it's all my stuff. And again, this is backed by that student account here that I signed in with. Not only do you get app data and single sign-on and stuff like that by using Azure Active Directory and shared PC mode, but it's a full-fledged native Windows account, which means that you also get all of the settings, OS settings, synced to this PC as well. Critically, that means things like ease of access. So if a student sets high contrast, as soon as they sign in on a different device, they get high contrast on the next device. Pro tip here, you can also set up a PC that's in use with the Setup School PC's provisioning package. And to do that, you go to Settings, Accounts, Access Worker School, and add or remove a provisioning package. You can see here that this is the actual package that was on the USB drive that was set as the provisioning package. Of course, Setup School PC's package sets policy to prohibit removing the package so students can't own the device, and as well as adding new packages. If I need to do some file stuff, the OneDrive app is great. It'll open up Office apps in Office Online. So here I have a Word document that I'm working on. I can just single click it, and I get the file. Of course, I can share, print, or edit it here. And if I need to save a copy, that's totally fine too. I can download a copy, and then as you'll see, choose where I want to save it. This is that save picker experience, which I referred to earlier. Here's where you would see the USB drive show up, map network drive show up. You can save to OneDrive directly. But let's say that student really wants to save to the desktop. Can't do it. We only give you the downloads folder, or you can use the cloud, or you can use removable drive. So when I'm done, I can just sign out. Yep, I want to close all tabs. I can just sign out, but more commonly, I'll probably just shut the laptop lid, right? I'll replicate that here on the VM by locking it. And I can walk away from the device. When the next student comes up, all I gotta do is click that sign out button if the previous student didn't sign out. And this puts them back at the normal Windows sign-in screen where they can sign in with their account or start with that account. So that's the demo I have for you. To recap real quick, what we did is we downloaded and set up school PCs from the store. We used it to create the USB drive. We used the USB drive to set up a bunch of PCs by inserting it during the out-of-box experience. That out-of-box experience provisioned the device, and once the device is back at the sign-in screen after it does initial setup, it's ready to go. Then I showed you a couple customizations and things of how shared PC works when the student actually uses the device. Go back to the slides. And some things that we've heard so far are, so that $200 price point for a device that you might buy, 30-second sign-in is still a little too slow. We know, and we are committed to improving that time and drive it down to hopefully approaching 10 seconds. Next, you saw me insert the USB drive, click a couple times, type in some creds, and then I had to go back at the end to sign out. That whole process takes a couple minutes, and it's a little bit heavyweight. It'd be much better if you could just insert something, one click, and walk away from the device and be done. And then lastly, when you buy a PC off the shelf from like Best Buy, order from Amazon, it comes with a lot of content that's not appropriate for the classroom. And it's a relatively sort of heavyweight process for you to go get that device ready to go in your school. Usually, you just re-image it. It'd be nice if you could have sort of a different way of doing that that was simpler and took less time. So thank you very much. Again, my name is Tyler Donahue. I'm super excited to have talked to you about all of these things. I'm actually the program manager for Setup School PCs, Shared PC Mode, and Sign-In Performance. So if you have feedback, I'd love to add to this list of things that we need to do. And with that, I will hand it over to Mark, who's going to talk about provisioning with the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer and take a test.
Thank you, Tyler. That's really great stuff. So I'm going to talk to you about another alternative for configuring the shared PC mode, and also a little bit about native test-taking ability that we've added in Windows 10 Anniversary Update. So first thing is, I'm on the Windows Image and Configuration Designer team. We affectionately refer to this tool as Wicked. It's part of the Adaptation and Deployment Toolkit, the ADK. So you download the ADK from the web, and Configuration Designer is one of the options that you can install. What's new in Anniversary Update is we've added an EDU wizard. Well, we added wizards in general. We've gotten some feedback in the past that the default UI for Wicked is a little bit complex. And so we're going this new direction of trying to provide some simple wizards to make it easier and accessible for light IT. And one of the wizards we added was an EDU wizard. And it's the very same concept as what Tyler walked you through with Setup School PC App, in that you do some work in the wizard, you create a provisioning pack, and then you can install it on the device with a USB stick. The difference is this is for an Active Directory environment. So Setup School PC is great when the device is going to be in an AAD environment, which is sort of the future and the cloud. And for small schools and small deployments, we highly recommend it. But there are some schools in which Active Directory environments are required because there's a big investment in group policy, for example. And for that, we have the Wicked EDU wizard. The Wicked EDU Wizard also has the ability to configure Take a Test, which is a new test-taking app we're going to talk about. One of the features of Wicked is the ability to configure shared PC mode in more granular level than the Setup School PC app. The Setup School PC app, you just saw the wizard, it just says, yep, done, right? But Tyler walked you through a very rich set of things that it actually does, some of which you may want to override and tune, and you could do that with Wicked. Finally, there's the question of deployment at scale. If you're deploying a cart or a few carts full, several dozen devices, maybe even up to 100, 200 devices, using a USB stick and provisioning them one at a time is a great option. It's much simpler than having to learn all the imaging tools, and it works great for teacher pilots and small deployments. But what if you want to deploy 10,000 devices, or some large school districts may have several hundred thousand devices that need to be deployed over the course of the summer? You don't want to put a USB stick in every device. That just doesn't scale well. We can't script provisioning packs yet. I mean, it's at the top of our queue, and I'll share with you a little bit about some of the roadmap features we have. But you can put a provisioning pack inside an image using DISM. So that's the recommended option for deployment at scale, is you take the provisioning pack, use DISM, and then use your standard software distribution techniques. Okay. Finally, we have Take a Test. It's new to Anniversary Update, and it's inbox test-taking app. So this allows you to take high-stakes assessments without having to deploy a test-taking app to the device. It's just intrinsically built in, so that also simplifies provisioning. That's the common theme for today. It can also be used for formative assessments. You can build up your formative assessments with, for example, Office Forms, and then lock down the taking of the assessment from Windows using Take a Test. It's not limited to Office Forms. You could write a Google Forms test or any other kind. As long as it's a web-based link, Take a Test will allow you to take it in a lockdown mode on your PC. So let me give you a little demo. So I'm going to show you Wicked and Take a Test. See it? So I've already installed Wicked from the ADK on the machine. And so I'm just going to walk you through the EDU wizard. I've already got it started. There we go. So there's a new wizard called Provision School Devices. So if I start this wizard, I'm going to call this Ignite 2016. And you'll see it's very, very simple to set up the devices. First thing it asks me is, what's the device name? When you enroll a device into Active Directory, they all need to have unique device names. People often want to have the device names to be something meaningful. Maybe it's the school or the district name at the beginning, but then you need some kind of unique identifier to make it unique for each device so you don't have conflicts. So you could say, for example, RAND 4 or RAND 5, and that'll generate a random number to add to it. When you get the device off the shelf, it comes with a pro license. A lot of people want to deploy an upgrade to an enterprise license, for example. You could put your enterprise key here, but it's optional. Then you can connect to the network, just like Tyler showed you, that the Wi-Fi profile can be embedded in the provisioning pack. You can do the same here. It's not typical to do this for Active Directory join, because for Active Directory join, you typically, the Wi-Fi networks are often locked down. The Wi-Fi networks for which you can access the domain controllers are often locked down with certificates. And until you're enrolled in Active Directory and get the group policy for the certificate, it's a chicken and the egg problem. So more typically, people turn this off and just use Ethernet for the boot. But it is an option if it's available. Then you specify if you want to enroll into Active Directory. So you'd specify the name of the domain you want to join, which for me is ntdev. But for you, it would be something else. The way you join a directory with WICD is exactly the same as you would do in any kind of an imaging flow, is you take a low rights pseudo user and you use those credentials to join. So you may have a low rights bulk user, and then you put in the password. Then there's the school settings. So this is configuring the device for shared cart use. And I can configure my test-taking account. We'll talk in a lot more detail about the test-taking account in a little bit later. But what I can do is I can say, whenever a given user like me logs in, I want to automatically launch take a test to some URL. And we'll look at what that looks like in a little more detail later. And then I can create the provisioning pack, and see the provisioning pack is created here. And what I can do is put it on a USB stick and deploy it to the devices, just like Tyler walked you through. In addition, if I want to switch to the advanced editor mode, I can see more granular settings. And one of them is, we talked about shared PC setting previously. So in the shared PC setting, the first setting is it on or is it off? Next group of settings is about the account manager. Do you want to enable the account manager? Generally, people do, because that's an important part of shared PC. You can configure the account model you want. Do I want it just to be for this evergreen guest account? Do I want to allow domain users, or do I want to allow both? You can specify the threshold for when the disk cleanup happens. So by default, when there's 25% of disk left, the disk cleanup kicks in, and it'll keep cleaning until there's 25% of disk free. But you can change those thresholds. Similarly, there's a number of EDU policies for locking down the device and power policies for enabling efficient overnight updating and maintenance mode of the devices. They're all documented. There's a lot of policies, about 50 of them. And you can, if you want, you could turn them off here, and then you could configure them in a more granular level by group policy. So that's what I was going to show you about ICD. Next, I want to tell you a little bit about take a test. So if you look and you search for take a test, you won't see it. It's what's called a headless app. But it does exist on the device. If I look at this shortcut, properties, this one has at the beginning MSEDU secure assessment as the beginning part. So this is a registered protocol handler. So take a test will run whenever it sees that at the beginning of a URL. And then if you look at the very end of this, you see it has this enforce bang enforce lockdown. And that tells the take a test to start the lock right away. I've gone and built an Office form that has some quizzes in it. And with Office form, you can actually see, you know, how did people do on the quiz and the average time and a whole bunch of other stats. But one of the options for Office form is you can get a URL here to the form. And so you can create a shortcut to it, like I just embedded the protocol in the, and then when you launch the shortcut, you'll see it brings up the Take a Test app, which locks the PC down. So students can't get distracted by, you know, bringing up Google or something else in another screen. So the device is fully locked down until I exit lockdown mode with Control-Alt-Delete, which brings me below this starts lock screen. This uses the same framework as assigned access, which is running above the lock, runs the app above the lock. I have another shortcut here called to air take a test. And this one's largely the same, except for at the very end, you'll notice there's no bang enforce lockdown at the very end. But there is the protocol handler to launch take a test. The reason I don't need the bang enforce lockdown at the end is because air actually takes care of that themselves. So take a test has JavaScript APIs that it can respond to that the website can call to invoke the lockdown, and that's what air does. So we don't need to call enforce lockdown here. So I say yes, and then air goes and logs me in. Air invokes the lockdown remotely, and then it brings up its own sign-in page. And so I can sign in. It's an error, for those of you who know, is one of the larger high-stakes assessment vendors. And then they'll log me in, and I can take my test through error. And that's all well and good if I want to take the test from my own PC. But how do, if I'm an administrator of the school, how do I know that the students haven't messed with that PC? If I want a really secure environment, I would rather have them take a test in an account that I can guarantee hasn't been messed with. And the way you can see that is, that was one of the things that we looked at configuring through take a test, through Wicked, but it can also be configured from a local control panel. I can set up an account for test taking and set up a URL. And I'll show you really quickly what that looks like. So I have a dedicated account called test taker. And if I switch users to the test taker user, Well, while it's waiting for the group policy client, let me go back to the slides. So a few requests that we've heard that we haven't had a chance to implement yet. One is a bulk AAD join. As Tyler demonstrated to you, even with a set up school PC app, you have to enter credentials on every device. And with the Wicked EDU wizard, there's not even a checkbox option to say, I want AAD join. What we want to do for both is, and in the imaging workflow, it's not unique to these apps. Even in the imaging workflow, there is no ability to do bulk AAD join. So what we want to be able to do is add that as a premium feature where ahead of time you can specify your credentials at authoring time and then have those applied automatically to all the devices. Second set of things that we've heard is the ability to remove OEM pre-installs. We're still encouraging OEMs to deliver what we call signature images that are clean images, and the set of clean images that you can choose from has grown quite a bit over the last few years. But we've been told many times that there are still a lot of devices that are bought retail that don't come with clean images, and the ability to use Take a Test or set up School PC app, which is essentially applying a delta to a known starting point. If you don't have a known starting point, that becomes a harder one to manage. The next request we've heard is the ability to script provisioning packs. So this way, they could be used in, for example, an MDT task sequence or other kind of automated provisioning flows. So this way, you don't have to put it in the image itself. We've heard that it would be nice if ICD or Wicked could be as simple as a store app, perhaps a Centennial app, instead of being carried in the ADK, which is a little bit cumbersome to set up and acquire and install in service. And finally, we've heard the ask to have media-free provisioning. Instead of having a USB stick, can I sort of pixie boot the provisioning pack or use other forms of media? And I can't say which release these are coming in, but I can say these are all top of our mind. And if you become a Windows insider, then you'll get early access to all of this. Now back to our regularly scheduled demo. So I'm going to log into my test taker. And then you see when I try to log into this account, because it's a dedicated test-taking account, I will have no option to do anything except take the test. Never mind. Look at the monkey. Look at the monkey. Oh, sorry. All right, quick recap. We have a number of deployment options for deploying shared PC mode. First, we have the Setup School PC app, which is great for teachers and small-scale deployments. Next, we have Wicked, which provides a little bit more granular options, but it's only for Active Directory environment. And for Wicked, you could do small-scale deployments using the USB stick, or you could do large-scale deployments using DISM and imaging. Finally, both of these just call an underlying CSP to set shared PC mode. So you can actually configure shared PC mode or turn it on through a management tool if you want. It's not limited to being done at provisioning time, although that's typically how people use it. So lots of deployment options to meet your needs. Key takeaways, we have shared PC mode. Windows now works great in a shared device configuration with super fast login, standard policies for shared PC, and a cloud-first, low-cost devices. Secondly, we have more configuration options to meet different needs, including the Setup School PC app and Wicked. And finally, Windows is now ready for testing natively with the Take a Test app. There's a lot more information on all of these things here, so some links in the deck which you guys can grab. And as a call to action, how many of you are Windows insiders? Awesome. So as you become a Windows insider, look for some of these features that we've talked about as being the top asks. Hopefully they'll be coming sooner rather than later, and you guys will have access to them earlier than others. So that's great. So please try them. And your feedback is super important to us, so please fill out a survey afterwards so we can help get better over time. That's it. Any questions? So the question is, why can't you use the provisioning pack in MDT task sequence? And the answer is, it's tricky to do because provtool.exe by default will prompt for trust. So it doesn't script well right now. It brings up this prompt for trust unless the provisioning pack has been signed by a trusted authority. And the only way you can specify the trusted authority is by running provisioning to specify the trusted authority. So it's a little bit of a bootstrap problem. We're going to get around it in the next release by adding some PowerShell commandlets that allow silent scripting without prompting for trust. There are secret ways of getting around it if you want to talk to me offline, but we prefer to you know, wait for the mainstream. Yep. Yeah. Question is, any chance this is going to be Kerberos aware? So Wicked is all about enrolling into Active Directory. So it's Kerberos aware in that it checks, I mean, the Wicked tool checks whether the credentials that you type in are really Kerberos credentials, or Kerberos user.
You're feeding it a username and password.
What's that?
You're feeding it a username and password.
You have to feed in a username. To AD join, to domain join, yeah, that's how bulk domain join works. I mean, independent of Wicked, that's just how bulk domain join works. There is no scriptable way of bulk domain joining aside from using a low rights user. And so the recommendation is, I mean, this is just the way Windows works in the imaging in general, is don't use a real user. You know, create a low rights fake user in AD that's like your bulk enrollment user, has no rights, no privileges, no nothing. And use that. That's the recommendation. Yeah.
Are you going to provide any additional error messages for Wicked people? The original packages they did not apply.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Are we going to do anything for provisioning packs to improve the diagnostics when they don't apply? And the answer is yes. We've done a lot in anniversary update. And I think we still have more to go. So one of the things we did, I have a talk specifically on Wicked Thursday morning, if you want to see some of this live, and I'll go into a lot more details on the Wicked part then. But one of the things that we've added is in the settings page, if you click through details of the package, we now have a lot more error information if the package succeeded or failed. We also have detailed troubleshooting steps, hyperlinks in there, so you can collect logs. In the next version, the PowerShell commandlets have really great verbose diagnostics, which are going to be much, much better. And the other thing that we're focusing on is the ability to get the diagnostics information at UBI time. So for example, if you're just testing your provisioning pack, you create it, you double click it, now you want to look in the logs and go through the settings page, and I think that flows okay. But then once it's all working and you're happy with it, you deploy it at UBI time. Hopefully it just works then and you got nothing to do. But we also want to add a diagnostic hook then so that if something goes wrong, you don't have to go log in and troubleshoot, right? So that's where we're going with it. So it's the UBI hook and the... So we did some work in anniversary update. We got a little more to go. Anything else? Yeah. So the question is, can we streamline the installation of modern apps? We've done some work in Wicked. So the simple UI, the simple wizard for Wicked, doesn't allow you to install modern apps. At the top of our queue is to add a simple way to do that. The advanced UI does let you install modern apps at provisioning time. So you can pick and choose it. It's just a little bit, the UI is a little bit tricky to do. So we have a way of doing it.
Is that still per user or is that per device?
They're installed there's no notion of modern apps being per device. They have this notion, but they do have modern apps being all user. So they are installed all user. So once they're provisioned, any user that logs in will get the device. But I mean, we'll get the app, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's exactly actually how Setup School PCs works. It actually embeds the OneDrive AppX package in the provisioning package, and it installs it for all users, and then it's registered when the user signs into their account. So you can do it. You just need access to the AppX package and a license file, and if you have a business store, you can download that from the business store.
All right, I just want to show you guys this. It finally logged in. All right, I'm sorry.
Will the best thing you ever move look like more project style instead of loading a form on top of the lock screen? You're taking a different direction than the lock screen.
So the question is, would we consider, instead of having this simple web view control that just jumps above lock, would we consider putting it in the browser itself? And that's something we struggled with when we were first deciding which direction to go. We originally were going to do a lockdown mode of Edge, but then we started to think about what do we need to lock down, and it was like, well, we don't want navigation, we don't want bookmarks, we don't want, and by the time we got through all the things we didn't want, all we had left was displaying the web page. So that seemed to be the right solution, and we sort of looked at other secure assessment apps. And then we partnered with AIR for the smarter balance assessments, and that seemed to be the right approach. So that is the direction we're sticking with, unless we hear of new requirements.
Just a follow-up question. Do you plan on doing something like monitoring control? Monitoring the test taking?
We don't do teacher monitoring during test taking, but AIR does. So as I mentioned, the forms integration is very light right now. And it's not, if you want to have a deeper integration like we have with AIR, we have a JavaScript API on the device. That API lets AIR know, am I in secure mode? Did the test end? So they can tell when I type Control-Alt-Delete and it's over. They can also check to say they won't let you render the URL unless you're in a secure app. And they can also get a list of what are the running processes. So It does have the level of security and monitoring that AIR deems necessary through the JavaScript API.
Should go to the mic.
Russell, just want to say thank you for working on the login time. I've got Windows 7 computers that sometimes take more than 60 seconds to log in for the first-time users. Simple question, are you going to be supporting the anniversary update to LTSB that comes out next month?
Ooh, I don't know the answer to that. Do you mind?
I don't know the answer. If you can shoot me in. So the LTSB, they remove a whole bunch of the apps. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure which apps are being removed or not removed. I'm hopeful that our app will be part of it because it's a headless app, so it looks. But I don't know the answer. If you shoot me an email, mm-hmm. I'm Mark Shep, MarkShep at Microsoft.com. I'll get you back.
It's usually, from my testing, it's been the modern apps in the store that they've removed from LTSB, which has helped us within login times.
Right.
As far as taking tests, do you have the ability to whitelist an app that you can run? Like, it's very common to run tests with browser.
It doesn't do whitelisting or blacklisting of apps. There's other tools. There's App Locker that lets you do white and blacklisting of apps that are allowed to run. Take a test is, all it does is you point it to a URL and it jumps above lock. And it has JavaScript APIs so that on the other end, the URL can decide to do more sophisticated things. In the test document itself, like once you've created your office form, it's got a URL. You can prefix it with the Take a Test app to get it to launch the Take a Test app. If there's another app that you prefer and it has a protocol handler, you could do the same thing with it instead of Take a Test. I mean, the way we've built it is fairly generic.
To clarify the question, do you mean running basically two apps at the same time, the test in the browser and also the calculator app?
Oh, a second app. We don't have the ability to run a second modern app. We do have the ability to run a second app if it's assistive technology. And AIR has the ability to have what they call promiscuous mode for certain students to allow a second app to run. But we don't, what you're asking for and specifically, we don't have yet. So I'll take that as feedback to the product team. Thank you.
Start at the front and go back with the questions.
Is there any fix in the use protocol of real users taking the protocol when they get kicked off, like creating .com or something like that, or is it more of a matter of just
let me rephrase the question. Let's see if you, that's the question you're asking. So I think your question is, how did you make sign-in time faster in shared PC mode? Okay, so... Yeah, so that's a good question. Basically, the answer is that the application developed, I don't know what their team name is, the ADEX team. We have a team in Windows who works on app deployment, and they spent a bunch of time making app registration happen quicker. In previous versions, it might take like 3 or 5 seconds on sort of low-end hardware to register an application. In anniversary updates, it takes like under a second. So we made a decision during sign-in to simply defer all of the modern apps that would have usually been registered. And instead, when the student clicks on them, it takes about half a second to a second to register the app before the app opens. And that saves, and actually that's the bulk of the savings for sign-in performance. There's a couple other tweaks we make, like we turn off the sign-in animation. We disable some other stuff that runs normally in consumer segments, versions of Windows. And the price we pay for that is if a student needs to use that app, they'll wait an additional half second to a second before that app launches. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yep. Yes.
Are you aware of how you deal with applications that like to look for subs and existing C drive or like to write?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I talked about in shared PC mode, the local drive is limited. Students can't save anywhere they want. That's actually only a UI block. So if you're an app, you can do whatever you want. No change in how apps work. It's only a UI block.
We're in the process of getting the state sign off. So both AIR and, I mean, we just released it, and both AIR and Smarter Balanced are recommending us. And now we're in the process of having the states all say, yep, we are going to list that as a recommended app for the Smarter Balanced states, right? That's only about half the states, about 20, 20 22. Right. And then hopefully a lot more in the future. It's really up to the test vendor. We're delivering the last mile of the content, which is that you've got the ability to lock Windows down intrinsically if the web page can call the JavaScript API and say, is it secure? Okay, lock yourself. Is there anything running? So the ability is there in Windows. Then the question is which secure assessment, high stakes assessment ISVs are gonna integrate in order to deliver the scenario end to end. Right now we have AIR and Smarter Balanced, but we are in the process of engaging with a whole rich set of, we wanted to start with one to get the whole scenario nailed, and we're in the process of working with a number of other ISVs, so it'll really depend. Yeah?
With the shared PC user accounts, is that only based on drive size, or do you have to have like, do you have at least like the same magnitude of drive size?
So I think the question is, how does shared PC decide to delete accounts, basically, right? Yeah, so. Right, so today we support two modes of account cleanup. One is we can delete accounts immediately. As soon as the student signs out, account is wiped. And two, the second way is disk space, and you can say, yep, when disk hits 25%, delete accounts until it gets to 50% free. And those accounts are deleted in the order of last accessed. And that's as much flexibility as we offer right now. If you have another use case, I'd love to hear it, because you know it'd be great if we got additional policy to the account manager to meet more varied scenarios.
As far as classroom PCs, we have double pressure. They're all listening to the software. They have vulnerable libraries.
So I think you're saying it's not necessarily space, but time. If a student doesn't use this for 30 days, then go ahead and wipe it. I would encourage you to try out the Windows Insider build.
Great, thank you. Further on that, instead of just having it based on time,
Yep, that's a sort of a corner case, but I think it's an important one. We don't accommodate that right now.
Let me ask one question. Is there a best way to set up and deliver a printer driver and scanner for each PC?
Set up a PC driver?
Printer and scanner.
With AAD credentials, you mean?
I
don't know what the best practice for that is. I've heard it doesn't work as well as in an Active Directory environment. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, sorry, I'm not very familiar.
I've heard that that was one of the weaknesses that the AAD and the printer team is working on addressing for the next version, but if you shoot me an email, I can look up offline if there's a best practice for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you like the slide that had all the links on it? I just wanted to show it quickly. Even though I know I can download the question now.
Sure. Not really. The way the provisioning engine works is it sometimes just merges the two and takes the most restrictive. So if you're planning on changing the policies, the lockdown policies, it's better to just not set it in the first place here and then just manage it via group policy.
Yeah.
Setting it here would be appropriate if you're just not planning on overriding it. So that's a really good and important point.
Yeah, there will be a little bit of grunt work, unfortunately. If you have a common setup and a bunch of policies you've set already, we have the full list of policies that shared PC mode looks, so you'd want to actually compare those and see which ones conflict, if any.
I have not tried it, so I can't answer it. It should work, because we don't use Edge itself, but we do use the Edge engine. I believe the Edge group policy is about launching the app itself, not the engine.
I use the software for shared group policy. There are a lot of
As long as it's just the Edge app that you're precluding from running, it should work fine. If you've locked down through AppLocker or some other means the Edge engine, then it wouldn't work. I'm pretty sure I haven't tried it though, so okay.
Question over here.
If you shoot me an email, the Edge team is super interested in knowing what things aren't working well in an EDU environment. So if you were to shoot me an email on what remote filtering client you're using and what it's not working, Mark Shep at Microsoft.com, I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
So the great thing about shared PC mode is that there's nothing specific to it about education. So if you want all the same benefits, automatic account cleanup, some lockdown, all the stuff that I talked about, you can just set shared PC mode on any Windows device. There's nothing inherently education-focused on it. Set up school PCs sets additional stuff on top of shared PC mode, which is education-focused, but you could totally go set up shared PC mode and put it in a workstation for nurses. And that's actually part of the design. While we focused on education initially for shared PC mode, we hope that lots of different sort of retail and industry and healthcare scenarios can use it as well.
And the account cleanup would be good in healthcare as well, like if there's, you know, there's a nurse for 3 weeks and then she goes out for, well, I'm from Vermont, so it's in summer, she'll come up for 2-3 months and
yep. Exactly.
Faces is the issue. It's, you know, 100 and some accounts on one PC.
Yep. And I think another gentleman asked about that too. Currently, we do not support cleaning up accounts after a date in the anniversary update, but I would recommend that you install the Win Insider builds.
That's just another use case for it.
Yep. Thank you. start front, go back again, I guess.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, the Config Manager team is on the same campus as us, and we talk with those guys all the time. We're working with them closely on the scriptability, the idea of PowerShell commandlets. Once we have the PowerShell commandlets, so you can automate the scripting, then you could integrate provisioning packs into an MDT task sequence. That'll be super important because there's two scenarios that are sort of hard to configure outside of imaging. One is the shared PC mode. The second is bulk AAD join. Those are things that even if you like the imaging workflow, it's very convenient to put those in a provisioning pack and script them with an MDT task sequence. So we're going to make sure in the next release that those things just work great end to end. I'm sorry, I might not be answering your question.
Yeah, that's perfect. Quick extension.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, the scriptability is it's top of our queue. Almost top of our queue. Right now, it's bulk AAD join is top of our queue. I kind of listed those things in the priority order. But become a Windows insider. Yeah. You'll get a chance to try the stuff sooner rather than later. Yeah, Michael Niehaus knows all of the stuff.
We know Michael.
He's the deployment marketing guy, and he's super technical. So he's we talk all the time. Sure, my pleasure, yeah. And I can say this time it's like we're so far along in the coding, I'm very confident it's not going to be next year, it's not going to be wait till next year. Like I said, become a Windows insider and you'll see the stuff sooner rather than later.
No, if they signed out without saving it somewhere, then it's gone.
Yeah, so if they opened the window and they didn't save it and it timed out and locked it.
Well, yeah, I mean, so if it times out and goes to lock, you can actually get back into it, but as soon as that account is signed out, it's gone unless it's saved.
So if you click the button that says sign out,
you're done. Yep.
All right, it looks like we're out of time, but we're around to take more questions offline, so thank you guys very much.